Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are chatting with Ed Moya, senior market analyst over at Oanda. And Ed, we're going to be focusing on the crypto space because over this weekend, really the drop that started later in the day on Friday, well, it's all over the news because crypto, Bitcoin, it's dropped a fair bit from some of the recent highs, right around $69,000 down to a low just recently of $42,000. And a lot of this move, again, happened late in the day on Friday, continued throughout the weekend. Good old cryptocurrencies and 24/7 trading, we do tend to see some of these more volatile moments during weekends or slow times that are typical for trading. Ed, what do you think caused this drop in Bitcoin, though? It's hard to, I think, isolate any one reason, but what's on your radar as being a catalyst to the downside here for Bitcoin and cryptos broadly?
Well, it was speculated that there were some extremely levered positions that had to get margined out. And it brought up another question as far as like, well, how does this work with a lot of these brokerages? They trade from Sunday night to Friday at the close. And I think you saw that there was, for the most part, a fairly light trading environment that we saw with the crypto, with the cryptocurrencies for that week. And I think what we were seeing was there was all this wait and see approach as far as what were going to be some of the bigger macro drivers. And it seemed that everything on the regulatory front was still rather optimistic. But there was this fear exactly, well, what will happen when we have an accelerated Fed tapering, more interest rate hike expectations for next year? And, you know, if Omicron is somewhat disruptive to economic activity over for a few months, that, well, what will this do to, you know, the store value trade that is Bitcoin? And I think there was this wide consensus, especially across a lot of those social media influencers, that Bitcoin was ripe for a major move higher. So I think that you had a very, very, strong plunge here. And I think there was not much that was getting in its way. And I think what happened, you had for a lot of the crypto traders, no one was really looking at what was happening Friday night. And they woke up Saturday morning and they were like stunned that on some platforms you saw it drop over 20%. I think that, we're used to volatility in cryptos, but normally there's some type of, clear catalyst behind it where, oh, there was an electric outage in China and you couldn't really mine Bitcoin, or if there was regulatory crackdowns or fears that you're having a key technical level breached and there was just no retail interest to come back in. But now I think you're starting to see is that there is this uncertainty as far as like, well, is this, selling pressure over? And I think that a lot of people got into cryptos and a lot of these like Grayscale, I think most of the people that got into cryptos for them was just within the last 12 months. And I think that you're seeing this is really going to test a lot of these people that just that get started in 2021. Bitcoin was up easily over 100%, when we were talking last week, and now it's only up year to date, and now it's only up 69%. Ethereum was up around 550%. Now it's only up 464%. So there's this opportunity that you have lots of whales that they're happy to lock in profits, and they know that the momentum selling will really likely trigger some exaggerated moves where they can then go ahead and buy back in. So I think that there's a lot of people that are also questioning, given this weakness, well, now that I saw Bitcoin really tumble hard in Ethereum, you know, do I just scale back into, you know, the my two favorite cryptos, or do I diversify into a broader set of altcoins? So I think there's a lot of kind of panic repositioning, and I think that you're starting to see that Ethereum is you know, it's positive. It's up, you know, 0.4%, while Bitcoin is still showing some weakness, down 0.7%. And I think you're seeing Ethereum is the one crypto that still has the strongest use case. You know, you can make arguments about Polkadot, Solana, or CryptoCoin, but I think there's a lot of people that are now focused on, okay, well, how do I go about this? And do I focus on some of these other smaller coins that might have more upside potential? So a lot of people, the sentiment will remain uncertain, I think, for the rest of the year. I think there's a few other, you know, red flags out there, but I think there's some nervousness here that, you know, the panic selling might not be over.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about what could some of the catalyst be for this pullback, because in all honesty, it actually had started a couple weeks ago, not just over the weekend where it accelerated, but, you know, we were at 69,000 in Bitcoin, and then it had pulled back into the, let's just say, the mid-50s, and that 55,000 level was seen as some technicians as key support. Most people thought there'd be a buy to the dip mentality there, but then it kept drifting lower, and then, yeah, it accelerated over the weekend. And I was talking to you off mic before we started recording. I probably get, you know, a dozen, maybe two dozen emails a day about all the different altcoins that people should be looking at. And most of the messaging is, hey, you know, forget about Bitcoin and Ethereum, get into Cardano, get into Solana, get into Shiba Inu coins. Could there be an effect where there's just so many other altcoins competing that maybe there's investors that are kind of that hot money speculative trade looking for the next big winner, and they feel like Bitcoin has run up so high at this point that motion has pulled some of this out, and then it just became selling beget selling? Could that be part of what's driving this, is a rotation out of Bitcoin and Ethereum and into the other altcoins?
I think that is going to end up be how the story is told, but there's still not significant strength here across a lot of those altcoins. Solana is still down pretty handily from not as bad as Bitcoin and Ethereum and Cardano too. Cardano's actually been one of the ones that the kind of the altcoins that just people are abandoning because they just see better upside and better projects being done with Solana or Polkadot or even CryptoCoin or Avalanche. So I think you're probably going to see, I think, a lot of traders, yes, they're going to take that, you know, let me get a diversified approach, because if some of these altcoins can go 10 or 20x, that's going to be a lot better than waiting Bitcoin to double in maybe a year or two. but I think where a lot of people are focusing their efforts, and this is why the altcoin move might, there could be something behind that, is because you're seeing lots of people trying to make sense of the metaverse and NFTs and DeFi. That is the key for the altcoin trade. And that is still so early. I think that with NFTs, that's kind of been one of the ones that I get frequently asked about. And no one knows exactly which exchange is going to provide, whether it's OpenSea or some other these other exchanges that auction places that will provide the best opportunity for your NFTs. But there is this belief that this is going to be a large part of how especially the millennials will look to get interested in and spend a good amount of time. So I think, you know, you're going to constantly see that. It seems like every other day you get, you know, some other announcement of a new coin that has key partners that's leveraged celebrity interest. I think that it's going to be extremely difficult to navigate all the different types of crypto coins that are going to be created or how other ones will eventually thrive. But no, I think there's too much in the air right now. And I think some of that weakness, you know, since, you know, the early November, I think you have to attribute to their you know, the one of the core tenets for people for holding Bitcoin was that you have governments with their unlimited support and growing money supplies. And I think that you have a lot of people nervous here that, you know, the Fed is possibly going to, you know, put an end to that by the end of March, and that we could start seeing rate hikes, and that will take away from some of the interest in that Bitcoin trade. So I think we're still, I think you should expect ample volatility, but by no means do I think that this crash is signaling the end for Bitcoin. I think that you're still seeing there's a lot of people that are you know, still heavily committed to it. Not to say that the El Salvador president is right or making the best decisions for his country, but he, you know, bought the dip, and he was very vocal about that. And you also saw, after announcing that, you know, you had Justin's son, you know, who for crypto traders, everyone knows that he is one of the top people in cryptos. And I think that you're going to see that there's going to be still steady interest, but you know, as retail gets hurt, and people have some bruises, they some will go away, some are more tolerant of these swings, but I think there's still opportunity here. I think one of the concerns that some people have is we still don't know who Satoshi is, and we still don't know. I mean, you have that Australian computer scientist claiming that he is, and you also have that U.S. court that has assigned $100 million damages. So if we start seeing some of those early Bitcoins on the ledger being sold, then I think we'll have our answer, and that could really unnerve some investors. So I think that I think we're getting more risks for the cryptoverse, but I'm still optimistic that the space has lots of opportunity. I think that the diversification play, I've been touting that for quite some time. I think that's still the way to go. You don't want to have all your funds in just one or two crypto coins.
See, this mentality, even that you outlined there, Ed, that people, even after this 30 to 40% decline in a very short period of time, don't seem to be overly concerned or scared for this space. I realize there are the bears that are always going to have these negative comments, but there does seem to still be this enthusiasm, this belief that no matter how big the dip or how quick the dip, it is just a short-term dip, and people, even though they have lost money here just over the weekend, don't seem to care. They still have this belief in Bitcoin and cryptos broadly. What would change that belief, Ed? Because does it even matter who the creator is? Fact of the matter is people like cryptos, and they don't seem to get scared when there is a massive drop.
Yeah, I think that it is like a cult-like following, but there. I think when you take a look at how Wall Street has viewed cryptos, and have you've had, you know, the more reputable places now, you know, touting diversification into this space, and I think that it is unlikely you'll hear like companies like Fidelity say, oh no, we were wrong about getting you to put a, you know, a low single digit percentage of your portfolio into cryptos. This is the volatility we've always touted. We've seen, you know, 80% declines before, and we almost saw 40 here. I think there's still this belief that you know, Bitcoin and you know, cryptos in general, they're likely to become just another kind of sector that you trade. And when many people gave up holding energy stocks, you know, following that ESG movement, well, energy has been the best trade this year. And I think you're probably going to see a lot of traders there. They're going to still maintain that view that they're still a lot of long-term projects that support that there's a good reason to buy and believe in blockchain and the technology behind that. So Bitcoin is, you know, they've made their progress in trying to offer smart contracts, but Bitcoin won't be the blockchain solution, but it will go hand in hand with I think any portfolio that you'll be hearing from. And that's because Bitcoin has that finite supply, and I think there's still this belief that even, you know, as we talk about Fed tightening and you know, eventually, you know, will we see 4, 5, 6 rate hikes this cycle, that's going to be it. And that we're still going to see, because of all the debt in place, you know, the Fed's going to be constrained on how high they can take rates. And I think that will ultimately still provide or be a strong argument for a lot of the Bitcoin loyalists. So I think you're going to have a very volatile environment still, and I think there's no reasons to anticipate that. And the market manipulation, the question marks that we're going to have on some of these moves, that's, you know, a big risk that will remain. And I think traders need to be prepared that, you know, that's, you know, with Bitcoin, that's probably always going to be the case.
Well, just one more thing before we wrap up here, and that is, you know, Ethereum is really the DeFi platform with that layer two that many other applications will build on. But Bitcoin is kind of in its own area and category as a store of value with the finite supply. And, you know, many times it's been said it's a replacement for gold and for a safe haven. It's been touted all year as the inflation hedge. And recently, we've heard people say oil is the inflation hedge. You brought up energy there. And obviously, gold is still an old school inflation hedge. But a lot of them have all sold off in the last few weeks when we've just had some of our highest inflation readings. It was made a big deal that gold sold off by about 5%. It went from 1880 down to 1780. But oil sold off about 22%. But Bitcoin has sold off, you know, 30 to 40% on this move. So are none of these things inflation hedges now? And is it right to consider Bitcoin an inflation hedge? Or is it really just more of a speculative trading instrument still?
First and foremost, and this has been the case throughout most of the pandemic, the majority of the pandemic, it is a risky asset. And it will trade primarily off of, you know, what is driving investors' appetite for risk. You know, but Bitcoin, yes, it coincided with some of those inflation reports that were hot, but for the most part, no, it's still you know, it's some Bitcoin and Ethereum. Bitcoin, the last few years, it's been, you know, one of the top performing assets. The space just 3 years in a row is pretty impressive for cryptocurrencies, and I think that you know, you're starting to see now, you know, we're getting to the really ugly parts of inflation. You know, some of the highest reading in over three decades, and you know, an inflation hedge should perform a little bit better than some of these commodities and cryptos, and I think that you're probably going to continue to see Bitcoin trade as that as a risky asset that ultimately, if and when we do get that first major pullback in equities, watch out, Bitcoin will be the first thing sold, because it's been one of the more profitable trades. You're going to see that profit taking will take place, and people will use that capital to go into whatever major dip, whenever we do get that for equities. But I think that you know, the blockchain trade, that is, a lot of people are trying to, you know, get a better handle of that. But it's still in its early stages. There's still a big question mark on where this will go.
Yes, there is. But you know what, people. Investors broadly are still, I think, excited to see where it's going to go. And there is still, as I mentioned, this belief that any dip, no matter how big, will be bought back. Boy, oh boy, interesting weekend for the crypto space. And now, well, everything seems to be pulling back. As Shad said, it is an inflation hedge. So what's the market telling us on that front? Boy, oh boy, a lot to discuss there, Ed. I really appreciate you taking time to focus on the cryptocurrencies. We'll chat again with you next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.